whenever she found something that she didn't quite get a hold of or didn't agree with what she wanted to do, yabut was the go-to word. We need to get rid of yabut out of our vocabulary. Not ever say yabut, because let's face it, any time the Spirit of God begins to move among us, it's going to be beyond the natural. It'll be outside of the normal. And we need to get rid of the yabut and let him have his way.
One of the interesting things about the Mary story, Dad, is not only was she risking her life or whatever, giving up her life.
Reputation.
On the basis of the word from the angel. But she was, in a sense, giving carte blanche to God. She really probably at least knew that she didn't know exactly what it was she was saying. And so often, you know, we get a little piece of it, we get a bit of understanding of what God is calling us to. And there we have to add it to the faith that Jerry was talking about. Because we really don't see very well all that it entails. Yes, there's going to be cost, for sure. But exactly what? We put it in the hands of a good father. Because we don't know. We don't know exactly what it is. We never do. God does. And he says it's good. And I've got something good for you. But we don't know.
We never know.
At the cross. Yeah.
I think that it's also just the little things.
It's life.
You know, I mean, her case was huge. But Coralie and I just had this discussion this morning. This is... Let me narrow it down for you. Coralie and I just had this discussion sitting here this morning. And it was this simple. This is where the rubber meets the road. Is she said, we're supposed to be giving money to the Kenya Christmas. And she said, when Grandpa announced it last week, I felt that I was supposed to give this bill. Where are we at on this? And furthermore, should I write a check so that we get the tax credit? Right? Legitimate, good fiscal thinking. And we both just sat here for a minute trying to see what we were supposed to do, and we both turned to each other and said, God said to you, put that bill in. He didn't say, write a check for this amount. And that's exactly, I mean, it's minuscule in comparison to Mary, so I apologize for trying to, but that's our day-to-day reality. Did God tell you to put one penny in there? Did he tell you to write a check for one penny? Or did he tell you to put that penny in there? And that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
It's saying, okay, you're going to be God.
Yeah.
This doesn't make fiscal responsible sense to me. But this is what you said to me. Jerry said it, and I was just like, oh my goodness, that's the word of the Lord today is. So
Amen. Now, I'd like to have run a practice session for two reasons. One, because we need to practice, and two, because. How many of you expect that somebody will die before we get to the end of the service? Physically drop dead. Anybody here? We're not expecting to die here. Nobody's expecting to die. How many of you expect that someday you probably will? Probably. Probably you will. So let's practice and start today, now, before we die, be it unto me according to your will. Get it done now. And then get it done tomorrow. And then get it done another day, but get it done. And meaningfully and seriously, be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you say, I'm in. Please be clear, but I'm in. Tell me what? But I'm in. I'm going to do this. I'm ready to go there. Whatever you say, I'm in. Are you there? And so, just in case you should die before the day's out, I'm in. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word.
Be it unto me according to your word.
And I really mean it.
I really mean it.
Now this will really be a miracle if I get pregnant. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to plug in. So many times we have had opportunity and we do the yabba thing. Today, we begin a new day with it, with this declaration. Be it unto me according to your word. Show me and I'm in. Call me, I'll go. Whatever you say, be it unto me according to your word. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to start out with the song called Everlasting God. And what it starts with is, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to allow your faith to arise, the strength of your faith to arise as we wait upon the Lord.
Make one more comment, and that is, I really want to get this. I don't know how big your faith is. You don't know how big it is. But Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So probably most of us have less than a mustard seed. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here that's moved a few mountains, but mostly it's less than that amount. So, all right, if you have a 1/16th of a mustard seed, 1/16th, I'm going to take that and invest that in the kingdom. 1/16th of a mustard seed. That's all I have, but I'm going to take what I have and give it. I'm plugging in with what I have. Hopefully there'll come a day when I got a whole mustard seed and I'll move mountains. But what I have today, that 1/16th of a mustard seed, I'm going to invest that in the kingdom. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Why? We declare that what he has begun in us, he has begun a good work. And the goal is for this good work to accomplish miraculous things by the grace and the meaningful work of God.
Rises, we wait upon the Lord. rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need.
so good. And you never, ever have let us down, and you never will let us down. And we worship you this morning. Good, good God. Good, good God.
I'd like to go back to that course, You'll Never Let Us Down. And I'd like you to take an item that you sometimes worry about in your life. You're not worried this morning because you're in church and you know, you're better than that. But on Monday, Blue Mondays, you wonder if this is ever going to get it together and who's going to pay the rent or whatever. All right, I'd like you to take that, the one thing that, or maybe two, that sometimes just crops up and it bothers you. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Can separate, even if I run away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. All things work together for my good.
Oh.
all things work together for my good. All things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Oh, your love never fails. Oh. Thank you that your love never fails. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that your love is the thing that cannot be changed or altered. Your love never fails. You are so, so good. And we do trust you. We do trust you. Your love never fails.
You're all. love is this, that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you. And I confess you're always enough for me. You're always enough for me.
You are always enough, and you're more than enough. You're so good. Always, always, always. Jesus, you're always so good. You're always more than enough.
Your face is beautiful. And your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands of healing, they're inside the scars. Your loving arms, they draw me near. And your smile, it brings me peace. Draw me closer, oh my Lord. Draw me closer, Lord. Captivate us, Lord Jesus. Set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. Is powerful, and your words are radiant bright. In your breath and shadow, I will come close and abide. You whisper love and life divine, and your fellowship is free. Draw me closer, oh my Lord, draw me closer, Lord. Captivate us, Lord Jesus. Set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. Everything be lost in the shadows of the light of your face. Let every chain be broken from me as I'm bound in your grace. For your yoke is easy, your burden is light. You're full of wisdom, power, and might. And every eye will see you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. I've heard who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers only.
Good Father. Good Father.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come.
Sing choirs of angels. Ready?
Oh, sing choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of earth above. Glory to God. Glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Yea, Lord, we greet thee,
Couple of announcements to bring to your attention. This week is the Christmas food pantry coming right up, and you might want to be prepared to help out. It's a big event for us as we share with the community. I'd like to note that we will not be doing Christmas cookies this year. We're doing a CD with Graham Cook. Some other sweetie things, and so it's a little bit different this year, but everybody that comes gets a fresh CD from Graham Cook, which has to do with hearing from God while we worship. And Nick, would you help me here for just a minute? Would you pass these out? That doesn't mean you pass out, but pass out the papers. We might note also that we have the Kenya Christmas box up here. Some have already plugged into it. Continue to do so through the next Sunday and the following Christmas Eve service. We're taking up a special offering for the work in Kenya. A particular target this time is the ability with some electronics to present the gospel to the various churches that gather for instruction and encouragement. This morning I'd like us to consider what to do with our 16th of a seed of faith. Very often we struggle with our lack of faith, or we're not sure that we've got enough to work with, and we tend to put it aside and not do anything with it. And I'd like us this morning in particular to be aware that God only asks for what he has given us. And he gives us what he gives us, and if we use what he has given us, that's when we reap a harvest. We don't reap a harvest from a seed, any kind of seed, if we don't plant it. It needs to be planted. And so I'd like to encourage you, particularly during this Christmas season, to dare to believe that you have eternal seeds which can be planted and benefit the people in your world. Sometimes we might think, well, I don't feel like doing that right now. And I'd like to encourage you to recognize that as an agent of the King, it doesn't matter what you feel like, you have the potential of releasing life. He healing, health, hope into the world around you. Most recently, I think it was the 13th of December, Doug Sheets sent out one of his calls for prayer. Give him 15 minutes. And in that, he made a declaration about how the kingdom of God is expanded by individuals speaking forth the word of the Lord in their particular area. And of course, we think, well, what can I do? And I think that it is essential for us to put away that thought and do whatever the thing is that he gives us to do, no matter how small. Just think about building a house. It's held together with small nails. The roof is held on, the roof in this building here, I don't even know, but wouldn't it be funny to figure out how many nails went into the roof that holds the shingles on? I mean, let's say it's 50,000 nails. I don't know. A huge number. Every shingle gets at least 3 nails. Is that right? Or 4. 3 or 4 nails. Okay, only. Do you recall that we have leakage spots up here? Somebody didn't put the nails in the right place or enough of the right nails, and the shingles come off, and we end up with stains in the inside. Why? Because a missing nail or two. And each of us has a nail in the process of building the kingdom. And maybe you've got 5 nails, I don't know, on your right hand and 5 nails, wrong. But maybe you have, I mean, what's the importance of this dinky little nail? Well, whether or not the holds the shingle on, it depends on whether or not you put the nail in. And we're in the business of building the kingdom. And so be faithful with your little nail.
Talk for a second, Papa?
You certainly may.
All right, so I just want to, in John chapter 1, we run into John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, you guys know the story of his birth. You know, he was actually anointed by the Holy Spirit while in utero. And you know, the stories of Jesus. Jesus was his cousin, so he knew this stuff. But he also knew he had a call in his life. And he wasn't sure just who Jesus was exactly and how it all worked, okay? But he had a word from the Lord, just a little word from the Lord. It said, go baptize people. So he went and baptized people. Want to know why? Because he also had another word of the Lord that said, when you see the one where the Holy Spirit comes down in physical form like a dove and remains there, then you know that's the one. And so he's simply obeying, like you're talking, just a little thing.
Notice that he really didn't know. He didn't have the whole answer. He didn't know the whole picture. He didn't know who this guy was, but the guy's going to come. Sooner or later, he's going to show up.
It says in John chapter 1 there, he says, I didn't see, I didn't recognize, I didn't know that that was who Jesus was. But I obeyed in my little thing so that I could see the thing that come that I was expecting. And then he says, so that he could be manifested to Israel. Okay, so I want to see that he didn't know much, like you and I don't know much. You know, honestly, even at the end of his life, he's the one that from jail, he's about to be beheaded by Herod, he asks Jesus again. Okay, after, you know, things have been pretty obvious, okay? But he's still worried about it. He's still concerned. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So he's still concerned, okay? He's still working on this whole thing. But in John chapter 1, he says this. I began to baptize, because I was told to. And I began to baptize because I knew that in the context of that, I would have a revelation of who was the Messiah so that I could make him manifest to Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you, the same is true for you. You have little tiny bits of obedience. You don't know much. It's okay. You don't have to know everything. You have to know just enough to hear. Walk with the Lord. Do what he calls. Expect to see what he says fulfilled. And then in that place, you see something There's revelation that occurs for you, and there's revelation that occurs for people around you. It's an important thing to recognize that obedience to God, the little tiny thing, is key to the manifestation of Jesus in your world. Amen?
Notice that when he finally does see Jesus and the Holy Spirit falls upon him and remains, his declaration then, does anybody remember what he declared? He did say that, yep. That was a little bit later, but he did say that to his disciples. But what did he say right immediately? Say it again. Behold what? Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. What an incredible prophetic word. He hardly even knew who was coming, and he finally sees the guy, and then he says, look at this guy. This guy is the Lamb of God. What does that mean? Wow, this guy, I mean, did he understand that? This guy is going to be sacrificed? I mean, it's a huge step from this is the man, this is the Messiah, this is the Messiah of Israel. Oh, by the way, he's going to get sacrificed. Woo! I mean, that's beyond. His disciples until the day he died never got that message. They were still expecting him to beat up Rome and take over the country.
Jewish culture.
Well, yeah.
It would be absolutely, you know, unthinkable. But that's what actually occurred for salvation.
Yeah. It's an incredible
thing.
And
for him to prophesy that, it's an outrageous thing.
The guy is a nutcake. Yeah. He really lost it. Behold the Lamb of God. But then beyond that, he goes even beyond that. He's even crazy. He just takes away the sin of the world. This is, what kind of a Jew are you when you're thinking about the sin of the whole world? This guy who obeyed in baby steps, trying to do what he was told to do. He's asking the question way back toward the end of his life, which would be 2 or 3 years later, but not long later. He's asking the question, are you the one? And what he meant by that, are you the Messiah? Are you the Jewish Messiah? That's who I thought you were. That's who I declared you were. But it's not happening. Somebody notice what I'm expecting is not happening because I'm expecting Rome to be kicked out of Jerusalem. It's not happening. Are you the one? Or should we seek another? And Jesus, do you remember what Jesus' answer was? Tell him, go back and tell John what you're seeing and what you're hearing. The lame walk. The sick are healed. The poor have the gospel being preached to them. The dead are being raised. Go tell him that. He didn't answer the question, but he did answer the question. He answered the question the way a prophetic person like John the Baptist would understand. He answered the question with the prophecies that were spoken about the Messiah that was coming. He would heal the sick. He would raise the dead. He would do this, that, and the other thing. And go tell John that that's what's happening. And so John had his answer with a non-answer. Have faith, yeah. Amen. We need that. We need that kind of faith to go beyond. We want the natural answers. We always want the natural answer. But he is always drawing us into the spiritual answer to get the answer that we have. Do you know where the mic is?
And the key issue always, each of these things enables a revelation for us that enables a revelation for those around us, which again enables obedience and revelation. There's a building there's a building thing that occurs as we're obedient in the process of just little things, just very, very, very little things.
Okay, we're going to go to the sheet that you have, and we're, as we walk through the sheet, I'll talk a little bit, but we're going to read this responsively. The dark print is yours, and the light print is mine, and so I'm going to begin, and you just follow along. We're going to start with the side that says who we are. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. I love to see... I have a hard time. Scripture is so wonderful, but he begins to talk about creation. He's talking about time, space, and what happened. The eternal God creates time and space, and he begins to do something. And Jesus was involved in that very process at that very time. Okay, you get to go with the light print. I'm sorry, light print for you. Go ahead.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him.
Interesting that John the Baptist says, this is the one. Behold, did they behold? For the large amount, did not. They missed it altogether. And even John, we just talked about. John began to wonder, this is not looking the way I thought it was going to look. So often we have an idea about how it's supposed to be, and we lose faith because it isn't coming out exactly the way it seems like. But as many as received him, many did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
This is who this is addressed to. Born of God because you believed in the Messiah. You believed in Jesus. And no wonder John, near the end of his life, this is important. Get this right, because either he is or he isn't. Is he the Messiah? Is he the one to believe? And John got his answer. We have his answer as well. Go ahead, read the next.
For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ.
There is something that Jesus brought into being that was never there before. For of his fullness, behold, the scriptures say, all the fullness of God dwelt bodily in him. Of that fullness we have received grace upon grace. Gift upon gift upon gift upon gift upon gift. Grace upon grace is talking about. And out of that abundance that is in him, all the fullness of God dwelleth bodily in him. Out of that comes grace upon grace. Yes, the law was given through Moses. But let me tell you something. Something better came through Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That's what it says here. Yeah, we got the law. He's talking to Jewish people. We got the law through Moses. But let me tell you something. The life, the nature, the power of God has been released to those who are his children. Grace upon grace. For all the fullness of God dwelled in him bodily. And out of that fullness comes to us grace upon grace. Can you get with that? You say, hallelujah. That's me. Yeah, get with it. Then we move to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold. Now, do you remember George talking about behold? Do you want to talk about behold for just a minute?
Well, behold is a Greek word that means to be perceiving, okay? And when it's spoken, often you should think about it as its own sentence, okay? In other words, hey, be paying attention, be perceiving. Let your eyes open up so that you can see. It's not just see this thing I'm pointing at, but it's become aware. And so the notion here is, behold, look, see, what is God saying to you? What is it that God's up to here. Behold.
Old things have passed away, and behold, perceive, dig in, get it. All things have become new. Oh, yeah. It only happened once or twice, right?
Once or twice.
You see these gray hair? But a third of them belong to him.
But that's what the ones that are lost belong to him. But that's what we're talking about with the whole. And his own did not receive him.
Yep.
Did they kick him out of the city? No, I think they allowed him to walk through their city. They might have, you know, here, have a snack with us. Here's a cup of coffee. Whatever.
Yeah.
But they didn't receive him.
Didn't receive him.
In that, yes, I hear what the auditorially, I don't know if that's a word I just made up.
It's a word now.
I heard you. I heard the words. But my mind is elsewhere.
Yeah.
I didn't receive what you had to say. And I think that's, you know, that's from those verses. I don't know. I wasn't there. I think you'd say Mom maybe was there.
Yeah, Mom was there.
But, you know, I don't think that they kicked him out of the city. They wouldn't allow him on their property. I don't think that was the case when you say they didn't receive him. Probably they were polite and did the politically correct, oh, it's so good to see you. But they didn't hold. They didn't own what
they didn't plug in all the way to their toenails, for sure. Yes, and may that be true of us. The things that God speaks to us, to behold is to get it and to apply it and make it mine and release it into my world. There's a seriousness about this whole thing, about beholding. Oh, yes. Yes. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now read on. Starting with 18, it's late, apparently again, yours.
Self through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Pause right there. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself and through Christ, and gave us a job to do. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to let that sink in. Behold. Behold on that. You have a job to do. It has to do with reconciling. Saying, go ahead, read on. Namely,
that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
I'd like you to see, just make the connection. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself because he wants to redeem them out of the hand of the enemy, to establish them in his family, to draw them in. He gave us the word of, or the message of reconciliation. What's our message? Be reconciled to God. Let me ask you a question. Does that fit in anywhere with you needing to forgive your neighbor who kept you up all night blasting music? You see, the message of reconciliation isn't just God and man. The reconciliation message comes through the ambassador of God, the children of God, to reconcile. The message of reconciliation, reaching, is ours to do as well as his. If he dwells within us, he is still in the business of reconciliation, and he's looking for a people who will carry the word of reconciliation. The next verse says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It says in the way this is, I think this is New American Standard, as though God were speaking through us. I just want to say it's even more strong than that. God is speaking through us in terms of being reconciled to God. That's the heartbeat of God, and He is speaking that heart cry through us into our world. That is our job. Now, we almost changed the whole subject on the next page. Because of who we are, we speak and act. And so, starting with the light print again, that's you. Go ahead. The good man. Ready?
The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart.
So what's in your heart? Because according to Jesus, now he could be wrong because he never went to Harvard, but maybe that ensures that he's right. But he's saying that what's in the heart will come out the mouth. Has that ever happened to any of you? Don't raise your hand. I see that hand. But yes, what's in the air does come out. And I want to just pick on you a little bit, but sometimes, you know, a long time ago, my Father in heaven told me I shouldn't tell my wife some things. Because when I couldn't bear it, I would dump on her. Yeah. What a jerk Jerry Fry is. Have you ever noticed Jerry's a real crumb bag? And blah, 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 blah. Well, that helps her a lot, doesn't it? What we call vented. I let go of it, and now I feel better. Have you ever vented and felt better? Oh, my goodness, that means it's the right thing to do. But then she has to carry the burden of that. And how many of you know that while God's grace is available to me to handle Jerry Fry, she's now carrying another whole thing. Yeah, she's got both of us to carry. That's a job. No wonder she hurt her back. Carrying me would be enough to add Jerry to it. It's hopeless. But seriously, how often? I mean, our world is crazy. We ought to go and vent. Well, surely that's about as far wrong as you can possibly be. Doesn't it ever? Yeah, let's put it out on the media. And let's everybody pick this up and go and then they can put it out and vent some more. And we wonder what in the world's wrong with our system. Well, it begins wrong with this psychological view that we ought to vent. That's stupid. I for the moment feel better. The negative result of that, just get off the topic, but I just want to say this. Yes, for the moment I feel better, but having sent it, it makes it more real to me than it was before. Particularly if Betsy agrees with me. If Betsy says, yeah, you're right, Jerry is a real slob. Now I'm confirmed in my belief that Jerry's a slob. Now I really, really know. I thought it before, but now I've got it convinced. And Jerry will never come to church again because he gets picked on. But seriously, I studied psychology enough to realize, tell you what, when I got my degree in psychology, I left psychology. You want to know why? Well, one of the reasons was it constantly changes. What's in today, then we have a whole new idea. This is what works. Oh, wow, let's study this. And within a year, this is what works. Forget that. This is what works. And I got just enough brights to realize that if it's constantly changing, it's probably wrong. And so the brights came on. Maybe I should tell you why I went into psychology. Because I knew that Christianity did not have the answer. I had been around Christian people all my life long, and they didn't have an answer to give. And I thought, well, psychology, that's the end thing. And when I got done with my study of psychology, I was done before I was done, by the way. I realized they don't have the answer. They have a million answers, and none of them are right because by tomorrow morning they'll change it to something else. It doesn't take a whole lot of genius to realize that if the answer keeps changing, probably there's something wrong with the answer that you believed before. And if they don't if you didn't get the message, the new guy will tell you that it was wrong. How do we get way over there? Let's get back to this. Okay. What's in your heart? What have you perceived? What have you studied? Behold, beheld. Jesus says, the stuff that you have beheld and are beholding and are embracing, it will come out your mouth. For his mouth speaks that which fills his heart. In Matthew 12 and verse 34, Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, "Are you brood of vipers? How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man, out of his good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." What's in your heart? And I want us to dare to say, "Lord, cleanse my heart. Purify my heart." And you want to know, you might think, "Well, I did that 6 months ago." You need to do it again. "I did it yesterday." You need to do it again. Why is that? Because the stuff keeps coming in. Stuff keeps coming. Stuff keeps coming. Stuff keeps coming. And there will be people who will tell you, and you don't need to have that. "Lord, purify my heart. Cause me to believe and speak and declare what you believe, speak, and declare." Okay, the next is light print. That's you, verse 36.
"Every careless word that people speak, they shall be given an account for on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned."
All right, let's read that again. George, would you lead us loud and clear? This is Jesus talking. Just note what Jesus says.
"But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned."
You know what's going on in Congress these days? I don't know if you have time to waste your mental energies on it. But blab, 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 blab. Ultimately, there will be a judge who's going to say, "I know what you said, and I know why you said it." And there will be justice. How many of you like to say, "Mercy, Lord"? Give me mercy. Give somebody else justice. Give me mercy. Did you want to say something, or were you just saying, "Give me mercy"? Just say, "Give me mercy." I can say that. All right. Now we're back to, whose turn is it now? My turn. Okay. Luke 6, verse 27. "But I say to you that here..." Anybody listening? Jesus is speaking again. "I say to you who here are listening, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you." Think about that. Does it make sense then, when you think about what God is up to? He's establishing a kingdom. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ. Out of his fullness, Estella receives stuff. And God was so loved the world, including his enemies, which the whole world was. Guess what? The assignment is to Estella. To love the enemies of God. To love her enemies. And Jesus understood that. What if I have put my love in your heart? If your kingdom is a heart kingdom, love is going to come out of your mouth. You will even love your enemies, because that is the nature of God who loved you and gave himself for you. "I say to you who are listening, who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." All right, you do the Romans 12 one. "But having the same spirit of faith, according to that is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore, we also speak. Reading together the next verse. Ready? We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The last four lines, just read them together. Here we go.
I am an ambassador for Christ. God is making his appeal through me. Building his kingdom is my assignment. I have work to do.
Each of us has work to do. There is a job that has been assigned to you. There's a nail for you to put into place. You might have a dozen nails to put into place. In building a building, the nails that go in the roof are only about that long. I want you to just catch this. Is it important to put those nails in? Very much so. The nails that are only about that long in building a building, which are called roofing nails, have a wide cap on the top, a big head on it. Why does it have a big head on the nail? It's only this long, but the head is three times the diameter of the shaft. Why? So the shingle will not pull through because it's got a big head. The shingle is here. The shingle tries to go, but it can't go because it's being held in place by a big head. Only this long, big head. So it don't leak. All right, so then they have spikes. They're this long. They don't have a big head on them. They got a small head on them. Some of them, well, different places in the house. But this what you call finish nails. They almost don't have a head on it at all. Every nail. Can you imagine building a house with roofing nails? All right, so you get your first 2x4. You take and hammer that big-headed nail into the 2x4, and it goes about a third of the way, or halfway through the 2x4, and you've nailed nothing. It's accomplished nothing. You need a spike that will go through the 2.5 inch thick into the next 1.5 inch. You want a 3-inch nail. Each of you have a job to do. You say, well, I'm not very important because my nails are only that long. Well, you know what? God needs 10,000 nails that long to put the roof on, or 100,000. You realize that you use fewer spikes than you do roofing nails? Oh, a lot fewer. The spike doesn't have a very big head on it. The spike looks like it's useless. Can you imagine putting a roof on with spikes? It'd be ridiculous. You wouldn't want to walk around. Yeah, you go up in the attic walking around, you get your head scratched. You'd come down bleeding because the spikes came all the way through. And you. That's what happened to Jerry. That's why he doesn't have any hair on his head. All right. All right, here we go. There's an assignment for each of us. And some of us have big nails and some have little nails. Where's the mic? You want to give it to Paula. Paula, why don't you come right up here and hide behind the pulpit here. And I'd like to hear from Paula this morning because there are things that are going on in Paula's world that we need to hear about. I don't know. You want to know something? What Paula does, the need for what Paula does, they need 10,000 of these things. We don't need big spikes. We need 100,000 small things, which Paula does. I'm really serious about this. There are needs for big spikes, but there's also a need for 100,000 small things. Go ahead, Paula, whatever you have. Oh, look, she's got notes here. Are you going to read your notes? Okay. All right. I asked her to do one in particular, the Muslim flaming, but maybe there's another one or two that you'd like to talk about. But let's listen to what does Paul. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Well, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just sitting here
you carry the little nails with the big heads on them. You carry the nails. Okay, go ahead. Carry a nail or two.
Typically this time of year we're really busy with a lot of emergency companies. loads in Greece. And he is so, he just wants to do whatever God has for him. Okay, he orchestrates it, and it was a blizzard. It was crazy driving, but it all worked out. The one person is moving to Florida, and after they met us in Herbert, we do, guess what? We didn't just get beds. We got a ton of stuff, and bedding, and more beds. We ended up with so many beds from these two things. We didn't even need all this stuff. But I got a phone call from a food pantry recipient saying, I ran into this person in Sodus. Nothing. They need beds, they need furniture, they need everything. Supposedly, her grandchildren live with this lady, and five kids don't have beds. Well, we want to be good stewards of what we have, so I decided to go out there first and scope out the situation. So I went out yesterday morning with food for them first. Them in our path on purpose. The most precious people. There's four generations living in this three-story house in three separate sections. And there's a great-grandmother, a grandmother, two parents, five kids with no beds truly, and an uncle who just moved in. So the Lord just provided for this family. So tremendously. And
point out, you got single beds. And when you have five children, I mean, children, single beds, good idea. How often, don't you normally get more?
Oh, you could get any size. And we have all these single beds, and they're just beautiful. The mattresses are better than even what we have, right? God knew. And when I was there with the food, talking to them and, you know, getting a feel for everything, I noticed there was a Christmas tree. And when I went to leave, I said, well, could you use a Christmas tree? And the woman sheepishly said, Muslim. She said, oh, you don't really celebrate Christmas yet. And so, you know, that was big, and I just know God is going to get to her heart. So we just, you know, pray for all the forgiveness towards
yes. Can you just imagine? I want you to just say, what a mistake to be delivering stuff to a Muslim family. What an opportunity. We don't even know what we're doing. And we're offering Jesus right where he needs to be.
As most of you know, our experience with people of Islamic connection is that the love of God is what breaks through.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
We've seen it.
It's the love of God that says there's something real that's not about fear, not about religion. There's something about love that changes people.
And their hearts are changed. We've seen it, and we've actually had fruit of it. You'd say, well, where are they? Well, I don't know where they are. They're in the kingdom. That's all we know. But before we leave Muslims, would you just pray for, and we just agree together for that Jesus would reveal himself to these folks. And would you do that? And we agree with you. If you say it right, we'll agree.
Yes. Yes, Lord. So we pray for Angela and her family of 10 people in this household. Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to go and move upon their hearts and reveal Jesus to them as their Savior.
Amen.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, there have been testimonies where Muslims, Jesus just shows up in their bedroom or in their jail cell and they receive Jesus. Well, we just ask for it again right there, right here in Sodus. Why do we have to go somewhere else? In Sodus. Mm-hmm. And when they see Jesus, they'll say, I know we're, this is the real thing. This is the real thing. Go for it, girl.
Well, previous to asking about the tree when I was leaving, you know, earlier in the morning with the food, I had told them all about how everything coming to them was God's provision for them. And I told them the stories about how, you know, this person donated this. And I had shared all of that. And so from that, the people moving to Florida, we got a ton of other stuff they could use. All kind of kitchen stuff, all kinds of bedding, blankets. And I remembered somebody who had a couple couches and chair in their garage who's been wanting to pass that along. So later in the day, I called the lady back. I said, when we come, could you also use couches? She said, oh, yes. Well, as it turns out, this uncle that moved in there, he moved into a one-bedroom apartment in there, and he had nothing in the apartment at all. And he was able to take those couches and chair, and the one couch opens to a bed. We were told church from the way the foyer looked like yesterday. And we're going through everything, and all of a sudden, we have four beds, really, that can go over there. So I need to save some others for other needs. And are you ready for this? I'm not kidding. There has been, if anyone knows, a toddler bed sitting in the back of the coat rack area for months. It's just sitting there. It was donated with a bunch of other stuff. Well, when I was there getting the food, I knew they had five kids. They were keeping the kids in the other room, but one came running out. This baby was a year and a half old. I never would have known there was one that little that would fit in that toddler bed. So that was the fifth bed. I'm just saying, every bit of this is so God's provision. God's doing everything, and we just glorify his name. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing and all your love. That's all.
That's not all, because it's ongoing. Yay, God. Praise the Lord. Now, she mentioned that they loaded on a trailer. Just say one thing about the trailer. Where did you get that trailer, and tell us how much it cost too while you're at it.
We've always used this flat homemade trailer. So this time of year, like, we'd be wrapping things in tarps and no fun. Well, Jim, on his way back forth to work, he's just noticed this enclosed trailer sitting in somebody's yard, grass growing around it for months. So finally he said, I'm going to stop and talk to the guy. He stops, talks to the guy, and tells him, just gets to talk about what we do and what we'd use it for and if he'd be willing to sell it. I mean, we really have no money to buy it. So the guy says, well, I'll call you back in a couple days. So like 2 days later, the guy calls, and he says, now, this trailer is worth, Jim said, $1,200 to $1,500. He could sell it just like that. It's like new, enclosed trailer. The guy goes, for what you do, this and that, he goes, I'll sell it to you for $200. And it has been an incredible blessing already. The Lord knew. He provided for what he
did. That enclosed trailer looks like it's new. I mean, it's incredible.
One last thing, this is so funny. At the end of the day, after all these deliveries yesterday, we go over to take food to somebody else in this little cabin over in Williamson. So we're sopping, soaking wet by now, and now we're delivering food in the rain again. So this guy comes out of a cabin next to the guy we're bringing food to, and I told him we'll bring him some food Thursday's food pantry, and he goes, I was just wondering, do you guys have any beds available? I'm not kidding. I'm like, really? What do you need? He needs a single bed. So I'm like, we'll find one for you. The Lord will provide one for you.
All right. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, God. Aren't you glad that you're not Paula? Aren't you glad you're not Paula's husband?
Yeah.
But you want to know, God hasn't called you to deliver beds. But you have been called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ every day of every week. And your assignment is every much yours as that which is given to Paula and Jim. There's an assignment for your life. The question is, are you willing to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ in the place and in the way that God has called you to do it? That's the question. Are you willing to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and do what he has called you to do? That's the question. If you have filled your heart, let me just say this. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said. Out of the heart comes the service. It's what he puts in produces the service or the words. Are you willing to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Will you carry the message of his love, his forgiveness into your world? And your world doesn't have to be Sodus or Greece. Your world begins right where you live. Your world begins right inside the four walls of your home. Your world then is expanded to the next door neighbors. The world expanded to school or to places where you're employed. But I'm telling you, I want to say this just as strong as I can. You have been called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. There is work for you to do. There is work for you to do. Some of it has to do with what you say. Some of it is how you smile. Some of it is a pat on the back. Some of it may be delivering a bed. Unlikely that you'll be called to deliver a bed. He's already given that assignment to somebody else. But let me tell you something. There's a job for you to do. Don't say, well, our jobs are all taken. He's building the kingdom now. There's roofs going on, and we need some roofing nails. We need some spikes. We need some willing workers to do the work. And Jesus has assigned you to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ in that regard.
If you look also in John chapter 1, you look at John the Baptist, and I talked to you about him before. He obediently was baptizing, watching for the sign. He sees the sign. The next day, it says, he sends two of the guys that he's been discipling already. He says, that's the Lamb of God. Go after him. One of those guys happens to be a guy named Philip or Andrew. Andrew happens to know a guy named Peter. Andrew goes and touches Peter. Peter connects with Jesus. Jesus prophesies over Peter. The next day, they go to the same town. Go ahead.
They say, come and see. Is it?
What happened was John said to his disciples, to his guys, that's Jesus, the Lamb of God. Go follow him. Well, they start following him. Jesus turns around and they say, well, where are you abiding? That's not a bad question for us to find out what our assignment is, okay? Where are you abiding? And go, and you know what they did? They say, where are you abiding? And you know what Jesus says? Same thing as he says to you and me. Come and see. You come along with me and you perceive, behold, same word actually, same verb, okay? You come along with me and you see where I'm abiding. Come along and abide with me. And so they did. They came. It says right in the scriptures. They came along and abided with him.
But he really didn't have a place.
He was the place.
He was the place.
He was the place. And they came and abided with him. Okay? And then one of those guys goes and gets his brother. And his brother happens to be another disciple that you may have heard of, Peter, right? And this guy Peter, you know, comes along and Jesus declares over him and he begins to see some things. And then another guy in their town, his name is Philip. And you may have heard of that guy too. And Philip goes and finds Nathanael, okay? You may have heard of that guy too. Nathanael says, how could anything good come out of
Nazareth.
Nazareth. He comes and sees anyway.
Isn't Philip saying, come and see?
Well, actually, that's what it is. Nathanael says, how could anything good? And Philip says, come and see. Here's the deal. That's our message. It's all what we always do, is we come and we perceive. We abide with him and we perceive, begin to be open to seeing that which he's about. Paula says, I don't do anything. He's doing it all. No, she's wrong. She's coming and seeing. Okay? And yes, he does all the rest. She comes and sees. And we come and we see. And so then you have Nathanael, and Jesus sees him, perceives him, same word, beholds him, same word, and says, there's a guy, there's no trickery in him. He's straight up. And the guy was straight up. You read what the guy said. He was just like, you know, he played it straight every single way. How do you know me? He says to him.
To Jesus.
To Jesus. And he says, I saw you under the tree. He's like, oh, goodness. And then he says this. Watch the revelation hit him. Rabbi, you are Son of God. You are King of Israel. Because you saw this little thing, Jesus says, then you believe. You'll see greater things. Let me tell you, you. Look at the ripple effect. John the Baptist, Peter and Andrew, his disciples. Look at the ripple effect, you know, Philip and then Nathanael, and you'll see, and you'll keep on seeing, and keep on seeing. One little nail. Well, you're right. One little nail stops it from dripping. But let me just tell you something. The whole is what we're about. Each of us, one little thing. Coming and seeing. Seeing what he's got to say. Abiding with him in that place. And the ripple effects are powerful. We have Muslims or ex-Muslims that work with us all the time. Want to know why? Because they come and see. That's why. Because they come and see. That's the game. That's the gig. Be perceiving, because when you're perceiving, you'll come along, you'll abide, and you'll see, and you'll keep on perceiving.
And so the question is, are we willing to be those who see and then release what we have seen into our world? And it might, I'm serious about this. Forget about carrying a bed someplace. Put that aside. I doubt that anybody here other than Paul and Jim are called to deliver beds this next week. They may, but probably the rest of us won't. But I tell you this, there is something that you need to be about. There is an assignment for you, probably not delivering a bed. Will you be what you're called to be? Will you allow him to use your mouth? Will you allow him to use your hand? Will you allow him to use you? One last thing. Please hear this. We live in a time right now when you can wish people a Merry Christmas. It's socially acceptable at this year. I mean, some years, you know, a few years past, you weren't allowed to say Merry Christmas. That was a no-no because, you know, don't. But this year, it's okay. A few years ago, you could get hurt. What? You get lynched for wishing somebody a Merry Christmas. It's okay now. But all right. So you can do it. Now, here's what I want you to do in addition to doing it. I'd like you to recognize that you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And as such, your words have power. I say the same words, but I want you to say them with the understanding that I'm speaking for the King. The Almighty God dwells in me. And when I open my mouth, I speak His word. Merry Christmas. And nobody can stop it because the Almighty One is working within me. Do you see it? I dare you just to allow the same words, don't shout it like I do, the same words whispered, spoken, with an understanding that this is an ambassador of Jesus Christ who just released a Merry Christmas. And the Almighty God will back it up because He responds to the faith of His children. The joyful birth of Christ in you. May it be yours. Happy holidays, George. Somebody says happy holidays, say holy holiday to you too. Let me, I really beg you to dare to believe that you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ with a 16th size of a mustard seed of faith can release something of the kingdom of God into your world with something that is totally socially acceptable this year. Merry Christmas. Let the power of God inhabit your words and make a difference in somebody's life. It is yours to do. You could say the same words with no sense of faith or confidence, but I challenge you, say the same words with confidence that as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, my words have authority. Let me tell you something. You have more words than Joe Biden did. You have more authority than Joe Biden did when he said, I'm going to withhold $1 billion if you don't do what I want you to do. By the way, that's Joe Biden said this himself, so I'm agreeing. I believe that Joe Biden was telling the truth once. And he did say that he could withhold $1 billion of aid until he got what he wanted. According to Joe. Let me ask you. He was challenged. Does anybody remember when he was challenged? You can't do that. Do you know what his answer was? This is Joe Biden's testimony, by the way. I'm not giving you stuff off the internet. Joe Biden's testimony was, call the president. Call Obama. That's what he said. When he was challenged, he says, okay, call the president. You don't like what I'm saying? Ask the president. I mean, this is his testimony. Now, let me tell you, the application. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you release the word of God. And if somebody objects or somebody says, oh, I don't know if that's any good or not, you say, ask the Almighty One. I am His ambassador. I've been called and equipped to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And what I say goes. And if you don't believe me, ask the boss.
Was always a quiet, intimidated thing. But there was so many people that would say, oh, yeah, and they